It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lassenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. He joins us today by Skype. The director of the Michigan State Police will lose 5 days of pay for violating the department's social media policy. Christy Atchu came under fire a few weeks ago after she shared a Facebook post that called NFL players who kneel or sit during the national anthem degenerates. In addition to docking Atchu's pay, Governor Rick Snyder has also ordered all state departments to ensure their policies promote diversity and inclusiveness. Jack, do you think this is enough?
It doesn't matter what I think. It won't be enough for people who were very outraged by this. It probably is too much for people who agree with her about them being degenerates. There are still people who are very sore and who felt that she should be fired. And the main problem is that at first she really didn't apologize. She said she was sorry if anyone was offended, but it wasn't until some time passed that she issued a more complete apology. So my guess would be that as a result of this, the fallout will be that if a Democrat gets elected governor, and maybe even a Republican is elected governor next year, she's gone.
Jack, earlier this week, you wrote about Jocelyn Benson. She's the former dean of the Wayne State University Law School who just declared her candidacy for Secretary of State. You wrote that even though Benson didn't formally announce her candidacy until this week, she'd actually been running for the position for months. You've said similar things about State Attorney General Bill Schuette before he formally announced his candidacy for governor. Why would a candidate hold off on formally announcing? What's the strategy there?
If you run for a while and you start catching on, you could have a big event around your formal announcement and use it as a fundraiser. Brian Kelly is running for governor, but he doesn't seem to be stirring up very much interest in his candidacy, and he could quietly never announce that he's going to run if he decides not to run because he had no chance of winning the nomination. Of course, I don't know that, but again, it's like a capital campaign raising money for a university. Sometimes you do a soft launch, and then after a while, you have the big formal announcement. And I'd like to formally announce I'm not running for anything.
Duly noted. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is looking for possible detention center sites in the Detroit area. According to a notice, the agency is looking for a facility that could hold 200 to 600 detainees. ICE is also looking for sites in Chicago, St. Paul, and Salt Lake City. Why do you think Detroit made the list?
We need to say this is very tentative. They haven't even said that they're going to build a site. They're just looking around for the possibility, and they have some money to do so. But Detroit is on an international border. Certainly, we've had incidents of people trying to come across the border from Canada to get into the United States and vice versa. We have a large Middle Eastern population, a large Hispanic population, and those are the two populations that President Trump seems most concerned about. So it would be sort of a logical place for such a facility. But again, they have not even said that they intend to build such a facility yet.
The Michigan Senate passed a bill this week that would give charter schools a cut of revenues from a regional enhancement millage. Right now, the revenue is restricted to traditional public schools. Supporters of the bill say it would ensure that all students get equal support, but critics say funding to public schools is already stretched thin. Jack, we're talking about millages that have already been approved specifically for public schools. How would this work?
Well, you have to remember that legally charter schools are public schools. They get public funding like the other public schools on the sort of per pupil basis. But the backstory of this is that most of the Republicans in the legislature don't like conventional public schools. Some of them would like to put them completely out of business and turn education into charter schools, especially for-profit charter schools, often operated by people who donate to Republican campaigns. But legally, I think that the charter school people probably have some firm ground because, again, legally they are public schools, but we should note they're not public schools that are really regulated by anybody, so the standards are much lower.
Lastly, Jack, Western Michigan philanthropist Helen DeVos died this week at the age of 90. She was the wife of Amway co-founder Rich DeVos and mother-in-law of U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. But what else should we know about her life and legacy?
She was certainly a philanthropist for causes she cared about, which were primarily the Republican Party and charter schools. Charter schools and vouchers, et cetera, have been a big cause of her daughter-in-law. She was very well known in Western Michigan, where she also supported the arts, we should say that. But I would say that much east of Grand Rapids, she was virtually unknown. She had no presence in the Detroit area to speak of, and she was a very nice person, but she was a philanthropist identified with certain politics and certain causes and certain geography.
All right, Jack, well, enjoy the warm weather this weekend.
I will be looking out for any philanthropic donations that might come my way.
Jack Lassenberry is Michigan Radio senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.